Hello, welcome back to another episode of Pastor Vic's Nuggets of Truth. And as always, I always look forward to seeing you and hope that my message will be a blessing to you. Before we get into the message today, I want to remind you that if you go to my website, which is PastorVic.com or PastorVicsNuggets.com, you'll be able to download all kinds of free resources for yourself, for your ministry, for your church. Anyway, let me move on now to this section of teaching that I would like to share with you. It's been my personal experience that I've observed that there are two camps, if you will, two camps of belief regarding divine healing. There are those who believe that divine healing is for today, and then there are those who don't believe it's for today. Now, both groups can find scripture verses to support their agendas. So what one thinks about divine healing as an individual is in great part influenced by what one is taught. What you're taught causes your eyes to be focused on those things. Those who don't believe that healing is for today will overlook the preponderance, the multitude of Bible verses that talk or witness about healing. However, there's another group of people who are taught about healing but are skeptical about healing. They're skeptical because it doesn't make sense or line up with their personal experience. And finally, they've never witnessed a supernatural healing for themselves. Since divine healing is such an essential part of the gospel, I want to take this time to share my testimony. My testimony takes me from when I was essentially an atheist to believing in God, then at some point accepting Jesus as my Savior, and finally believing that healing is for today. It is part of God's redemptive plan. It was a journey from skepticism to faith in all, and I want to emphasize, all that God has provided for us today. I've learned that you can't pick and choose what you believe from the Bible. Either all of it is true or none of it is true. And the only way to know the truth is to embrace all the Word of God and walk by faith in what the Word says. Now, I hope my testimony will somehow connect or relate to your personal experience and your walk with the Lord. And as I share my testimony, I want you to be aware that what I'm witnessing is what Jesus Christ has done in my life, and I want to give him all the glory. After coming to the Lord in 1978, I started going to church, but the church that I went to did not believe in divine healing. It did not believe it was for today. As a matter of fact, the church that I was going to was more interested in developing fellowship around social interactions. And by that I mean gatherings for fellowship, potluck dinners, programs, events, but they never talked about Jesus. As a matter of fact, they seemed to be uncomfortable about the supernatural ministry of Jesus Christ. You know, I would classify them as what theologians might call cessationist. In other words, they believe that miracles stopped after the apostles passed away. However, as I pointed out in my last post, Jesus had more disciples than the 12 that he called the apostles. And those disciples, other than the 12, moved in the power of the Holy Spirit. And I believe that what was true then is also true for us today as disciples of Jesus Christ. Also keep in mind that there has been no shortage of miracles, signs, and wonders throughout church history. 2,000 years of history, and yet permeated with miracles, signs, and wonders. Now for me, at that time, I was going to that church, instead of searching the Bible and seeking the truth for myself, I simply believed what I was taught in church. And the church that I attended, as I said, taught that miracles are not for today. But then I began to associate with other Christians who believed a little bit differently. They believed in miracles. They believed that miracles could take place today. These Christians pointed me to the Bible verses, the scriptures, that spoke of how to know that the kingdom of God was present and it was through signs, wonders, and miracles. Most practical of the miracles is the healing of the body, the mind, and the emotions. So at that point, I was being pulled in two directions. Miracles, signs, and wonders. The big question for me is divine healing and miracles for today. Now, I had heard about people being healed, but I never witnessed that kind of miracle for myself. So I was very skeptical. And what made it more difficult for me was that my background was in chemistry and biology. And science teaches that only what can be measured is seen, and that is real. And of course, the supernatural can't be measured or can't be seen with our natural eyes. So here I am, a relatively new Christian, trying to understand with my mind if supernatural healing was possible for today. I know now that the mind cannot fully comprehend the spiritual realm or the mind of the Lord. The scriptures tell us we have the mind of Christ, but that doesn't mean we understand everything. Now, let me introduce you to my father-in-law. My father-in-law came to live with us after he had suffered a stroke. He was paralyzed on the right side. His right arm hung limply by his side. He was unable to use his right arm to write and do things like that, of course. And he walked with a cane because he had limited control over his right side. It never occurred to me to pray for him for healing. And that's because healing wasn't what I was taught. Now, after a period of time, my father-in-law had heard about a healing service about four hours away from where we lived. And he decided to go with a group of friends to this healing service. And I, of course, I wished him well, but I didn't expect anything to happen. He left my house in the morning crippled, and he returned home that night totally healed. He could now walk without a cane. He was able to shake my hand for the first time in many years. And he was so proud that he could finally write with his right hand again. He was so excited about what Jesus had done, and he spent all his days telling everyone about the healing miracle he received. And he said, he would say, if God can heal me, then God can heal anyone. Now the story doesn't end there. You may be thinking that my father-in-law is the one who received the miracle. But in fact, I was the one who received the miracle. Because from that moment on, I went from being a cessationist to believing that healing was for today, and to a believer, it transferred me to a believer without any doubts that that healing was for today. And then from that day to the present, I pray for people to receive miraculous healings anytime and anywhere. And having seen the Lord do marvelous things, it has strengthened my faith and my walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. See, that's the key to the kingdom of God. Believing with your heart, that's faith. And then lay hands on the sick, and the scriptures say they will recover. But you say, what if they're not healed? Well, let me share with you an important truth. You are not the healer. Jesus is the healer. And I mean that whether the healing takes place at that moment or not is the Lord's business. It's His responsibility. Your responsibility as a believer, as a disciple of Christ, is to lay hands on the sick and in faith pray for them. Now, I recently came across an article by Andrew Womack, Andrew Womack Ministries, and I'm going to read a portion of it to you. And this is what he had to say. I'm quoting him. It speaks to the issue at hand, which is healing for today. And again, this is what he had to say. One of the main reasons I think Christians don't believe that it's always God's will to heal is that it's convenient to believe that way. Instead of making their experiences match God's word, many seek to make God's word match their experience. It's obvious that not everyone gets healed. Not even all who desire healing receive it. And to deal with this dilemma, the doctrine is that God's will not to heal. Now, that's convenient. That makes it God's fault and not ours if we don't do right. You see, this is not what the Word of God teaches. The prophet Malachi said in Malachi 4:2, "But unto you that fear my name shall cause the Son of Righteousness to arise with healings in his wing." Now, this was not just a metaphor for spiritual healing and health. The same thing was spoken by the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 53:4. And it says, "Surely he," meaning the Messiah, "hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did not esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted." Now, there's been a great effort by many theologians to spiritualize this, to say that healing provided in Christ's atonement was only spiritual and emotional, but not physical. But that is not true to God's word. Isaiah's prophecy about Jesus bearing our grief and carrying our sorrows was quoted by Matthew in the New Testament in relation to Jesus healing every single one. Matthew quoted Isaiah 53:4, and he did it this way in Matthew 8:17, "that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses." Matthew, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, substituted the words infirmities and sickness for the Isaiah's words grief and sorrows. Now, actually, a study of the Hebrew words in Isaiah 53:4 will reveal that they were always speaking of physical healing. The following verse in Isaiah 53:5 says this, and it makes that speaking of physical healing very, it makes it very clear. And Isaiah says, "But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." Couple this with the example of Jesus healing every person who came to him for healing, and the truth that healing is part of Christ's atonement is undeniable. Jesus said that he did exactly what he saw his Father do. We see that in John 8:28. If God is the author of sickness, as some teach today, then Jesus failed to follow his Father's example. He never made one person sick. He never failed to heal a single person who believed. As Peter put it in Acts 10:38, "God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him." Now, notice that word "all." And also notice that those who were sick were oppressed of the devil, not God. The Lord would no longer put sickness on someone than he would make a person sin. Look, we've been redeemed from both of them. Am I saying that since healing is part of the atonement, Christians don't get sick? No. Not any more than saying that those who receive forgiveness of sins never sin again. See, freedom from sickness and disease has been provided just like freedom from sin. But yet, Christians still sin. They still get sick. Not because it's God's will, but because of other reasons. Now, that was Andrew Womack, and I think he puts it very, very clearly. God doesn't make people sick and then heal them. Healing is part of the atonement, and it is available to us today. Now, in closing, let's take a look at some of the reasons people do get sick. Now, one reason is our own personal sin. God doesn't punish us when we sin. We punish ourselves because of the principle of sowing and reaping. Galatians 6:7 says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap." For instance, an alcoholic may get dementia or liver disease. A drug addict may get some kind of blood-borne disease. An adulterer or those that are promiscuous can receive a sexually transmitted disease. You see, it's not because God is punishing them, but because they did it to themselves. There are always, always consequences for sin. And secondly, don't ever forget that as a Christian, you have an enemy, the devil. And he will use fear, he will use lust, he will use doubt and confusion to lead us all into all kinds of problems in life. You see, Satan's goal is to draw you away from the Lord, to doubt the Lord, and destroy your faith in the Lord and his word. Satan will use whatever influence to try and bring you down. However, remember, as a born-again Christian, the Holy Spirit of God lives in you. Listen to 1 John 4:4. It says, "You are of God, little children, and you have overcome them, the world, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world." Hallelujah. Greater is he that is in you than the devil who is in the world. Of course, and you can't forget James 4:7. "Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and what will he do?" That's right, he will flee from you. The third reason for sickness is that it's often a result of living in a fallen world. When the Lord created the earth and all of its inhabitants, there was no sickness or disease. In the Genesis account, the Lord says of his creation, "It is good," but sin entered the world through the fall of Adam and Eve. And we have had to deal with the consequences ever since. Salvation is available through the grace of Jesus Christ. There are Christians, both those who believe in divine healing and those who don't, who will spend eternity in heaven with our Lord. However, we can avail ourselves a little bit of heaven on earth by embracing all that Jesus provided at the cross of Calvary. By his resurrection, we are assured of our resurrection one day. And by his stripes, we are assured that we are healed. Jesus is the healer of our minds, he's the healer of our emotions, and he's the healer of our bodies. I hope you can say amen to this. Jesus is the healer, and he wants to heal you. But you must come to him in faith. And if you need healing in your own body, then you need to pray that kind of prayer and walk it out. But also, as disciples of Christ, we should take every opportunity to lay hands on the sick and pray for them. Because believe me, when they recover, we need to encourage them to give all the glory to our Lord Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity to minister to people I don't get to see. But your prayers, you see them. And my prayer for them is that if they're sick in their own bodies, that they would receive supernatural healing from you right now. And if they're sick in their families or in their relations or their friends, Lord, that they would be emboldened to go and lay hands upon them, and in the name of Jesus Christ, release healing into their lives. And all of this so that you would be glorified. Amen. God bless you. I look forward to seeing you the next time.